with the stuff up front, that this is a special Sunday, our Lord's Supper, our communion, whatever you choose. It's a special time, and we'll see before we partake. I want us just to turn in our scriptures, if we would, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and we'll be thinking of this mindset of the Last Supper. The Last Supper. If you remember last week, we were talking in John chapter 2, and we know that Jesus was headed up for the Passover, and that was the several times that Jesus had went to Jerusalem, and so this would be his last Passover, and it would be a time that he would bring in a new ordinance. It would be a something that even today, October 29th, 2017, that we are partaking of. That's how important. How many other things do you know of that's that important that we still today, that even though 2017 years ago, God gave us this ordinance to do, and here we are today partaking of it. To me, that's awesome thought, isn't it? How precious that time is and the privilege. And so I want us to think about Jesus' last hours upon this earth as he walked as the God-man, as he came, and we'll soon be ushering in the celebration of his incarnation with Christmas time, and oh, what a joyful time it is. But we all know that babe grew into a man, and that this man would give his life that we celebrated Easter for all of us. And that's the common denominator in this room today, is Christ. And I pray that for somebody that doesn't know him, that you'll come to know him today as your Savior. Why? It's the most important thing. And so these last days, we see this last hours of Jesus, and we'll see that there's a point here that he's going to change history, that he's going to change eternity on this last meal. And it's not a story of fiction. It's not a make-believe or a Hollywood thing, but it's an historical event. Happened on Nisan the 15th, which has been marked for April, and that it was the Passover day. And we know that time, we talked about last week, that was a time of enthusiasm, right? You had over a million people that were ascending up to Jerusalem, going up to celebrate. Why? Because they went up to celebrate God's deliverance from Egypt. God wanted them to remember his deliverance. And they met every year. And I want you to think about that celebration and the awesomeness of that evening and what it meant and how that Passover lamb that was purchased and that perfect lamb would be sacrificed between 3 and 5 that evening. I'm talking thousands of lambs that blood would be shed, that they could remember that Passover when that death angel came that was placed over the doors of the Israelites, that when God's angel came and he smote and he killed all the firstborn of Egypt, that he passed over because he saw the blood. And the significance of that, Dean, and how it ties such together. Why? I can't imagine 24 divisions of priests. They were excited, and that day was such a big day. And can you imagine the sheer magnitude of that, and the people, and the sacrifices going 3 to 5, all that was going on. And Jesus chose this situation to usher in his ordinance, the Lord's Supper, that we'll partake of today. And I want us to know that there was a meal set aside for that Passover, and a lot of us have went through, and it's a great Seder meal, and they had certain things, different parts of that meal meant different things, the bitter herbs, and it would mean the bitter affliction, the different cups. And so we had all this great tradition that was coming together at that hour, and Jesus chooses this time in history, in eternity. Listen, it just didn't change history, but it changes eternity that we'll see today. There's not many moments like that, by the way, okay? Not many moments. In fact, I want you to think about the preciousness of those moments. You say, I can think of another one. How about when you came to know Christ as your Savior? Something changed for eternity. A sinful person like myself became a child of God because the blood that we'll learn about was applied to my life. And I became a living, listen, I became an eternal child of God right then. Not after I die, but that moment changed for eternity. And one day I'll stand in heaven with Jesus Christ because of that moment. That is precious. Those are not many of them. And then we'll have another one right here that we'll partake of And we'll see that one day that we'll eat one day with the Lord Jesus in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Woo-wee! Yeah, you talking about a culmination of this that we come together. Not just tradition, not just doing something to be doing it, but because He commanded as an ordinance. And one day, when you take that cup from His hand, woo! Yes, I promise you, you'll be saying, man, it was all pointing to this moment. It's all pointing to this. And so I want us to see a couple things in Luke 22 before we partake. And I want us to see that Jesus first in Luke chapter 22, we'll look at 14 through 20. Let's reverence the reading of God's Word and stand to our feet. Luke 22, 14 through 20. The Word of God says, and when the hour had come, He sat down, and the 12 apostles were with Him. Then He said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for this precious time that we can come together as your people. Not perfect, God, but we're perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what He's done. Help us to remember that today. And we'll give you all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Just a couple things before we partake. I want you to see here Jesus' expectation. Look at verses 14 and 16. It says, when the hour had come, He sat down with the 12. Then He said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus had this expectation. He's looking for, listen, before the sun goes down the next evening, He will be in the grave, crucified for you and our sin. And yet He said with this great, His expectation was He was looking forward to this moment and fulfillment of that moment. Listen. Grasp that. God comes to earth and He's going to a cross. He knows He's different from us. We don't know our hour. We don't know when our last breath will be. He knew. And yet He's saying with fervency, I've looked forward to this meal, this last supper that I'll eat with these people that He loved. And we even know that Judas was there, the one that would betray Him. Right at the last minute, He's trying to reach Him. He has expectation. Luke reveals this is a critical hour to see the heart of Jesus and where He's chosen to spend the evening. We know that if you go back to the first of the chapter that He sent Peter and John and told them exactly where to go, where to find the room, where to set it up, where to make preparations. It was almost like a covert thing, and I'm thinking, why did He have to be in such secrecy? Well, He realized that Judas was trying to find His place to betray Him. He wanted some time with these men that He loved to implement this new covenant, this new institution that we would be following today, 2017. You tell me this thing's out of date? Then what are we doing here? Why are we following this ordinance? Because He commanded us. And we'll see. He says, the last meal to be eaten. You ever thought about your last meal, wondering where it'll be? Jesus knew exactly. He chose to look down through the portals of time to see you and I sitting right here and to share with us. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I have intense longings, He's saying, for this hour. He said, I'm eager for this moment. He knew what it meant and what it would mean. And He also realized this meal, this tradition that had went on for thousands of years, was the culmination of it was in Him. That lamb that was slaughtered would be the one. All those thousands and millions of lamb that had been slaughtered in years past, that it was pointing to the one perfect lamb. When we get into Hebrews, which we'll soon be in before long, and it says that all the blood of bulls and goats wouldn't atone for one sin. It was just pointing to the perfect sacrifice that would be coming, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that one lamb. He's getting ready to change everything in just a few moments. This is not plastic. This is not a painting on the Sistine Chapel, a Da Vinci painting. This is true biblical history that God set apart forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The truth of God's word that we can almost be with him in that moment, thinking back and seeing our Lord and Savior. Because he said, do this in what? In remembrance of me. Why do we have to keep doing it? We have a tendency to forget, don't we? We have a tendency to forget the goodness of what God has done for us. And then I want you to see the realization the next time that he would celebrate. What did he say in heaven, verse 16? For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He said, and the next time me and you are together and we're doing this, it'll be on the other side, my friend. It'll be on the other side where there's no sorrow, no pain, no sin, no sickness, forever with the Lord. Woo! He said, that's what's going to happen. The reality of that, listen, that is as real as if the sun, do you realize the sun's going to come up tomorrow? God will make that come up. This reality is just as sure as that. Why? Because God said it. He said it. And this is the last time that he's really opening it up to the ultimate time. And in just a few moments, he'll transcend. He'll change the whole structure of the Passover meal. He'll make it all about not the deliverance from Egypt, although that was great, but the deliverance from sin in ourselves, which is far greater, which we all need. We are all slaves, by the way, to sin or righteousness this morning. The group around him would one day join him, and he knew that. And he said, one day we'll all partake of it again. And he's looking forward to that culmination, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and I am too. Jesus' enthusiasm, but I also, or his expectation, but also look at Jesus' institution, verses 17 through 20. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this cup and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. We see that, unlike the other Gospels, we see that there was multiple cups, which there were four cups in the Seder, the Passover meal. And so we see that Jesus is changing everything. All the rich tradition, all the things of the past, he's saying, hey, we're getting ready to make something that will forever stand in heaven. He breaks from the cups that are taken individually and institutes the same cup participation, the communion of the meal, mutual participants at a table. We are all gathering around the table of God's children. And whether you're a member or not of this church, if you're a member of the church through Jesus Christ, then we are welcome at the table. Now, if you're not, we'll talk about that in just a minute. He reminds them of the magnitude of the moment, but he's also that expectation of the future. He changes the meaning of the elements where he says, this is my body. This represents my body. No more do they represent the unleavened bread, represent the affliction of Egypt, but this was going to be that body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us, that was given for us. Now the emblem of affliction will be what Jesus would endure for our sin. His body represents, that bread represents his body. When we partake of that, his body that was what? Broken for you. Broken for us. He said, do this in remembrance of me. A conscious memorial of what he's done. Because we're in danger of forgetting if we're not careful. You know what he's saying? I am the payment for your sin. Do you hear me this morning? saying, I am the payment for your sin. In Sunday school today, I filled in for Brad. Told Lee Brad never looked so good this morning. Won't go there. But I had a great group of young people there in his class, and we were talking about, we were bringing up prayer requests, and they were talking about a mother that shot our kids, and one of them's in critical condition, and shot herself. Another mother that had driven off a cliff with kids. Why does a mom do such a thing like that? How can they do so? I want you to understand something this morning. It's because they don't have this hope. It breaks my heart. Oh, why do such a thing? Why take the children's life and all that? You know, because logically, let's just think it through. Logically, if all you have is this world and the bills and all the things that you face, it's easy for the devil to tell you it's better just to take them out of this world so they don't have to suffer and endure. That's a lie from the pit. Every life is precious. Jesus died for every life. And the hope that they're looking for is not in the world, but it's in Christ. And that's why he does this. So that we can remember and we can have this hope. We live in a hopeless world. Live as if you have the only hope that matters. This cup, he says, is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. All those millions of lambs, as we talked about before, just pointing to him. He says, this is the one blood, the one lamb that would count. And that was Christ. The new covenant, and said, he mentioned that in the prayer room today, Jeremiah, where they said, you know, no longer would it be this works of law and trying to live up to the standard of God, which we never could live up to. But he said it would be a new covenant of what? Of the heart, where the Holy Spirit comes and indwells every believer that receives Jesus Christ as the payment for our sin. And that new covenant resonates in each and every one of us through the Spirit of God and His Word and these times that we gather together to do these precious moments. The new covenant that's fulfilled only in the one true Lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when we see this, we got to remember a couple things. What is that? The seriousness of sin. Now, we just chuckle sometimes or smirk at sin. Don't we? I mean, it's become a big joke. Stand-up comedians, a lot of their materials about simple things, and it's serious. How serious it is it? It cost my Savior His life. It cost the very best God had. What we couldn't do, He did for us. Seriousness of sin in the world. You say, why is the world like it? Because of sin. Why do we go through the things that we go through? A lot of the things that we go through is because we live in a sinful world and fallenness around us and all these things. And so one day, I don't know about you now, you've heard me talk about it. I can't quit talking about why. I look forward to the day that I'm delivered from the fallenness of this world and myself, my own fallenness. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said. Even Apostle Paul understood. I'll be glad to be delivered from this old sinful life that's wrapped around me. In the world that I live in. Seriousness of sin. What God did, what Christ did on the cross. And also another reminder, just this week, Leroy Phillips passed away. A lot of you know that. And Linda Seitz, his brother, and went to... I'm reminded that sin brings death. How many of us here has been touched by death? And we'll be, and our loved ones that have died, and we're reminded that the seriousness of sin, that sin, death enters the world because of sin. Why do we die? Sin. You say, well, now I'm not saying ever death is because of, I'm saying the overall picture, death didn't enter until sin entered. Does everybody see that? The Scripture tells us that. So we're reminded of the seriousness of sin and that sin brings death. And so we are all in need of a Savior in this room today. If we've never had a Savior, if we've never been delivered from the curse of death, which is coming, there's only one way that we can, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you're trying to get there any other way, the Scripture tells us there is no other way. Only one way, and that's through Jesus. He shed His blood for us. A Jewish carpenter in God in bodily form. Thank God for the Jews. Why? Because that's where my Savior came from. There's only one way that we're delivered from our sin, and that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's where we see this new covenant. It's not one of the exterior, but one of the heart. We're all family. If we have Christ as our Savior, we're all family sitting here. We're all bonded together. Why? Because of that new covenant. We needed a spiritual transformation. We needed a new heart. Christ knew the only way that we would get it is through this last meal. We need to examine before we partake of the always. You say, why do we always do this? The Scripture, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, and listen to what the Word of God says. Not your pastor, not a man. What does the Word of God say? Therefore, he says in 1 Corinthians 11:27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Look, why do you need to say anything else? So, but in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And listen to what 30 says. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, die. I can't stress the importance of examining ourselves this morning. If you are not a believer, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do not partake. Why? You're taking in an unworthy manner. Don't just go through a routine. If you're living in sin, you know there's sin in your life. I'm talking about unconfessed sin. You're living away. Do not partake. Why? You're bringing judgment on yourself. That's how important this is. It's not a routine. It's not a tradition. It's not something that we're doing. It's do this in remembrance of me and examine ourselves. I don't know about you, but I've been doing it for several days now. You, Pastor, you better believe it. I said, God, show me. Look at my motives. Look at the things I do. Why? I don't want to partake of your Lord's Supper unworthily. So I'm going to give you just a moment before the Lord, and then I'm going to have Lee come up and give his testimony, and we'll start partaking. Let's bow our heads before God right now. I want you to do business with him, just you. I want you to make sure, if you've never received Christ, right now would be a good time to say, Lord Jesus, I see from your word that it's your sacrifice. You can receive him into your heart as you're sitting there and say, I forgive me of my sin. I'm turning to you, Lord, and I'm walking and living for you. You can receive Christ right there, and you can pray to God. But also, if you're living in sin, you need to ask God to forgive you of it. And that means not just saying it, but turning from it. But do business with the Lord for just a moment. Examine yourself, and then we'll partake. We'll have Lee come up, and then we'll partake. Deacons to come forward and prepare to take, please.
David asked me this past week to share my testimony with you, and I know that throughout the 3 years that we've been here, kind of a couple of times we've done that, so just in case you don't know me, I'm the student pastor here. Lord's done a lot of stuff in our life. And it's funny, as Sherry and I were talking through this last night, you realize about 26 years ago, I was invited to a fall festival at the church that was near our house. And it's where, I think I'm really hot up here with this, the mic. And it's where a family in my neighborhood invited us to a fall festival at their church, and I went with my twin sister, and saw some crazy people there, a lot like many of us. Notice that I put us in there, and they really loved on us, and I didn't grow up in church. I know some of you, that probably surprises you. My parents would say they believe in God, but as far as commitment, they don't have that. So we weren't raised in the church. But going to this fall festival, I just really felt a lot of love. My parents had no objection to us going. They were both raised in church. So we started going with this family and the church. And I will call out to you men here, just because it directly affected my life. You men. It was because of the men in that church really reached out to me as a young man and invested in me. Really poured Jesus into me. The only thing I really knew about Jesus before that point was about Christmas and Easter. And even then, Santa Claus and Easter Bunny outweighed that. So it was over about a period of 8 months that I grew in this knowledge of Jesus that I had, and Lord used a situation in my life with my dad, my relationship with my dad. He owns his own lure business, fishing lure business, and he used something that happened in that lure business to draw me, and because I prayed for my dad, and he answered a prayer specifically with that lure business. And it showed me that God was interested in me. And so I went to the family that was in that neighborhood that had just been poured into me, kind of like a spiritual father figure, Mike Spears, and just kind of went to him and I said, hey, Jesus has shown me that he's interested in me, so what do I need to do? And he gave me a Bible and pointed me through some scriptures. And led me, well, he actually didn't lead me to the Lord. I took those scriptures home, went into my bedroom. I can see it right now in my mind's eye. Sitting there next to my bed, going through some passages. It was the Romans road in particular, and just at the end of this particular Bible. In fact, downstairs in our dungeon, just kidding, in our basement, right underneath where we're standing, where we're sitting here, there's a box of Bibles, and they're the Good News Bibles. And throughout that Bible, it will point you to the next verse to look at. And at the end of the Bible, it has, if you would like to receive Christ, to go through this process here. And so I went that just by myself, just went through that passage, the passages, and prayed to receive Christ at night. And was Leroy perfect? No, I'm not perfect by any means, but I can truck through my life and see Jesus working. And so that was 26 years ago, and I was about 16, and about 3 or 4 years later, Jesus had been impressing on my heart to work with young people, and he used certain ministries to do that. And as you can see, here I am. So, you know, God is so good. And it's been a bumpy road, but it has been a good road. Lord's had four-wheel drive on the whole way, you know. And this past year has been an interesting year for my family and I. And I turned 40 this past year. And so there's two groups of you out there. There's some of you said, you ain't seen nothing yet, buddy. You know? And I hear that from you. I hear that from you. And then I got your other group where it's like, man, you are old. You know? And much of that comes from my students. But it's been so good. And I just want to challenge you this morning. And two favorite Bible verses that I've shared with my testimonies. I'll share one of them with you. John 10:10. Jesus says this, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life and life to the fullest. And that was my favorite Bible verse for some time until Ephesians 2 popped in there, and 2:10. And my aim is, as a servant of Jesus, is to help people know that there's more to this life than what you see. And so if you're sitting in here listening to my rambling, there's a reason why David had me at the end. So to take up his preaching time. But if you're sitting in here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I beg you to give your life to Christ, because you're just wandering around this world. You may have a focus. You may have a slight purpose. But I'm talking about eternity. I'm talking about something that means more than this life. Something that will matter 10,000 years from now. So if you've got questions, you can see me, David, anybody to ask questions. But thank you for your time.